With God's help, we want to begin a study of the scripture teaching on prayer. And for a summary of that, let's confess our faith with the words of the Heidelberg Catechism, which gives us a summary of what the Bible teaches about prayer and takes us through the Lord's Prayer. If you go in the back of your Red Psalter hymnals, your Trinity Psalter hymnals, to page 893, to page 893, we come to Lord's Day 45. This is an introduction to the Lord's Prayer. There in the fourth column, or second column, page 893, why do Christians need to pray? Because prayer is the most important part of the thankfulness God requires of us. And also because God will give His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who continually and with heartfelt longing ask God for these gifts and thank Him for them. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? First, we must pray from the heart to no other than the one true God who has revealed Himself to us in His Word, asking for everything He has commanded us to ask of Him. Second, we must fully recognize our need and misery so that we humble ourselves in God's majestic presence. Third, we must rest on this unshakable foundation. Even though we do not deserve it, God will surely listen to our prayer because of Christ our Lord, as He has promised us in His Word. What has God commanded us to ask of Him? Everything we need, spiritually and physically, as embraced in the prayer Jesus Christ our Lord Himself taught us. What is this prayer? And let's say together, Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Then let's turn in our Bibles to an example of how God uses prayer, 2 Corinthians 1, page 1794 in your pew Bibles. 2 Corinthians 1, we'll read verses 1 through 11. 2 Corinthians 1, verses 1 through 11. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the church of God in Corinth, together with all the saints throughout Achaia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles, so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. If we are distressed, it's for your comfort and salvation. If we're comforted, it is for your comfort, which produces in you patient endurance of the same sufferings we suffer. And our hope for you is firm, because we know that just as you share in our sufferings, so also you share in our comfort. We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. We were under great pressure, far beyond our ability to endure, so that we despaired even of life. Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death. But this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. He has delivered us from such a deadly peril, and He will deliver us. On Him we have set our hope that He will continue to deliver us as you help us by your prayers. That's our text, as you help us by your prayers. Then many will give thanks on our behalf for the gracious favor granted us in answer to the prayers of many. Well, may God add His blessing to this word and teach us to pray as we study this together, brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two basic parts to living the Christian life. What are they? Two basic parts to living the Christian life: obeying and praying. Obeying and praying. So when you, the Christian, ask your God, Heavenly Father, How do you want me to serve you? God's most basic answer can be found in these two words. I want you to obey me and pray to me. Obeying and praying. I want you to show your love and gratitude to me by obeying my commandments and by praying to me, because as Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And if you love me, you'll talk to me in prayer. Nothing shows our love to God more than devoting our life to God in those two ways, obeying and praying. We've studied through the Ten Commandments. And now with God's help, we want to begin a study on prayer, the Lord's Prayer, the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray. And what I want to focus on in these sermons, congregation, is the Bible's teaching that God commands us to pray, that He hears prayer, He answers prayer, He loves the prayer that's offered to Him through Jesus Christ and for His glory. He loves the prayer that's offered to Him through Jesus Christ for His glory. Prayer is very difficult, yet so wonderfully simple. And I pray that this series will be an encouragement to us all to be more faithful, regular, and fervent in prayer. In the history of the church, never has the church moved forward so powerfully in being built up and in evangelism than when the saints have dedicated themselves to fervent prayer. Because God uses prayer. And that's what Paul says to the Corinthians. I was facing persecution. I was facing death in Asia. But you helped me with your prayers. You helped me with your prayers. He used your prayers to deliver me from my enemies and to enable me to keep preaching the gospel so that the kingdom of Christ may advance. He helped me by your prayers. We want to see this morning the place of prayer in God's kingdom, the power of prayer in God's kingdom, and thirdly, the plea for prayer in God's kingdom, the place of prayer, the power of prayer, the plea for prayer, the place of prayer in God's kingdom. You helped me with your prayers. What is prayer? Very simply, it's talking to God the way He wants us to. Talking to God the way He wants us to. It's an unbelievably great privilege to talk to God. And prayer has a huge place in God's kingdom. You helped us by your prayers, says Paul. God has chosen to use the prayers of His people to accomplish His great, glorious, eternal, and holy purpose in this world. Think about that. Our prayers are so little and so weak. But God is pleased to use my little weak prayers, your little weak prayers, offered to Him in Christ's name. He's pleased to use our little weak prayers to accomplish His great glorious plan. It's amazing. How could He give such a huge place to the prayers of His saints, the prayers of His people? Because it pleases Him as a gracious God to save us from our sins and then set our feet high upon a rock and actually make us co-workers with Him in the coming of His kingdom. Servants and co-workers, I want you to labor with me, including by your prayers. I'm going to use your prayers to accomplish my plan. That should be an encouragement to pray. Let me give you a few other examples from Paul's life of how God used people's prayers for the advance of the gospel. Paul writes in Romans 15, I appeal to you, brothers, by our Lord Jesus Christ, and by the love of the Spirit, strive together with me in your prayers to God on my behalf. Strive with me in your prayers to God on my behalf, that I might be delivered from the unbelievers in Judea. And then in Philippians 1, Paul's in prison. But he says, I will rejoice because I know that through your prayers and with the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this imprisonment will turn out for my deliverance. Through your prayers, with the help of the Spirit, this imprisonment will turn out for my deliverance. And he says in 2 Thessalonians 3, finally, brothers, pray for us that the word of the Lord may speed ahead. You want the gospel to go fast? Pray for the messengers. You want the gospel to speed ahead across the globe? Pray for the missionaries. Pray for the messengers. And Philemon 1. Paul writes to Philemon, who has a church meeting in his house, please prepare a guest room for me. Get the bed ready. Because I'm hoping that through your prayers, I'm going to be graciously brought to your place. Through your prayers, I hope to be graciously brought to your place. Prayer. You helped me with your prayers. And I say, God, why do you want to use our prayers? Why do you give our prayers such a place in your kingdom? You could do it better alone. Rather than wait on my prayers and listen to my feeble, often ineloquent requests. You know the truth. I do. God doesn't need us. He doesn't really need our prayers. He knows what we need before we're going to ask. So the Bible says. It's not like prayer is an information service to God whereby we keep God in the loop. Oh, wait, we better pray so that God's aware of what's... Jesus said, your heavenly Father knows what you need before you ask Him. In fact, prayer is not keeping God in the loop. It works the other way. God has a plan. So He plants the idea of prayer in our minds to bring to His attention the plan He already has as a way to carry out His plan. Lord, why do you want to work that way? Because I want to be honored by a weak people approaching a strong God. It glorifies God to work out His kingdom purposes through the prayers of His people. That's really what it's all about. Prayers have such an important place in God's plan because prayer glorifies Him. He's so honored by prayer. Because prayer is weak and helpless saints calling on an almighty and all-sufficient God. Now, that helps me understand better why, rather than working alone, which He could better do in a sense, He has chosen to wait on our prayers. Prayer glorifies Him as weak and helpless saints calling on an almighty and all-sufficient God for their help. He's honored when we ask Him for His gifts and help, and He's honored when we praise Him and thank Him for the gifts and the help. His prayer humbles us. It magnifies God. It puts us in our proper place. We're poor and needy. Puts God in His proper place. He's rich, powerful, and awesome. Now I get better. Why God gives prayer such an important place in His kingdom. Our catechism says it well. It's the most important part of thankfulness that God requires of us. And God gives His grace and Holy Spirit only to those who with continual and heartfelt longing ask Him for these gifts. He uses it, prayer, to give us the gifts He has planned for us and promised to us to accomplish His great purposes. And so He's given prayer a special place in His kingdom. It's one of the tools that He's used to bring about our salvation and the salvation of our children. It's one of the tools that He's given to us to bring about our deliverance and our protection and our preservation. And the evangelization of the nations. And Satan's downfall. And God's final and complete victory of the whole globe. We studied the armor of God this week at VBS. What a blessing to look at. That armor that Jesus has given to us to protect us from sin and Satan. He's given us the belt of truth, the breastplate of righteousness, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith, the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit. But then Paul adds at the end, each piece put on with prayer. He uses our prayers as the way by which He puts the armor on us. Each piece put on the gospel armor, each piece put on with prayer, says the hymn. But that reflects Ephesians 6. After mentioning the six pieces of the armor, it says, comma, praying in the Spirit. That's how you take the sword. That's how you put on the helmet of salvation. I also love that passage in Revelation 8. It's found in more places in Revelation, but angels take censers filled with coals and incense. And at God's timing, they dump them on the earth, bringing about God's judgment of His enemies, God's protection and building up of His church. And then it says, oh, by the way, the censers are filled with the prayers of His saints. So every time we pray to God, it's like He's filling the incense shovel of the angels. And at the right time, those prayers get answered and poured out on the earth to do amazing things through our little prayers. Again, we stand amazed that He should give His needy people the honor of using our humble prayers as His way, one of His ways to do His mighty works on earth and in heaven. It's amazing. Prayer doesn't change God, no way. Prayer doesn't change God's mind, no way. But it's the vehicle that God uses to carry out His mind, to carry out His plans, to do what's already on His mind. And He uses us as His co-workers. So we see the great place of prayer in God's kingdom. But secondly, let's look at the power of prayer. Well, this teaching congregation should inspire greater faithfulness, diligence, and boldness in your prayer life and mine. You helped me. You helped us, says Paul, by your prayers. Congregation, your prayers are not in vain, though sometimes it sounds like, feels like you're talking to the wall. You must know when you offer your prayer to the true God in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son, in faith, your prayers are reaching the powerful, prayer-hearing, loving God and Heavenly Father. And God has for your prayers a real and powerful, important place in His plan for you, in His plan for your children, in His plan for your neighbor, in His plan for all the nations, in His plan for the gospel. Paul asked the Corinthians to pray for him when he was in Asia. He was fighting beasts in Ephesus, we read in another place. They were out to destroy his reputation and his freedom and his ministry and even his life. But Paul says, you prayed for me. God heard your prayers and He used your prayers to help me. So that even when I got to the point where I despaired even of my life, it says there at the end of verse 11 of 2 Corinthians 1, He granted us gracious favor in answer to the prayers of many. God granted us gracious favor in answer to the prayers of many. So first let's realize that the power of prayer is not in prayer itself. God granted us gracious favor in answer to the prayers of many. The power of prayer is the power of God. Prayer in itself is powerless. Some people speak about prayer like, if you say this thing, repeat this line so many times, you can yank on God's chain and get Him to do whatever you want Him to do for you. That's not what we mean by the power of prayer. It's sort of like a magician's tool to put God on your leash and make Him do what you want. That's not what we mean. Prayer in itself is powerless. But when God gets behind your prayer, as He promises to do, our prayers then are made powerful as God's tool for doing His will. God's power is the power that makes the prayer of a righteous man who believes in God effective. God's power is the power that makes our prayers effective. So brothers and sisters, and it's important for us to realize that in order for prayer to be powerful, God must get behind your prayer. And in order for God to get behind your prayer, it must be a prayer that pleases Him. That's what question and answer 117 is all about. How does God want us to pray so that He will listen to us? God does not listen to all prayer. He listens only to the prayer, the kind of prayer that He's willing to get behind. What does that mean? What's the kind of prayer that God gets behind and uses powerfully? Well, it's prayer offered to the one true God, the God of the Bible. It's a prayer that agrees with His plans and His promises and doesn't work against Him. What He says in the Bible, Lord, I want all the Jewish people to be killed. That's not a prayer God's going to get behind because it doesn't agree with His will. So it must be to the one true God, the God of the Bible. It must agree with His plan and His promises. And above all, it must be in the name of Jesus Christ, His Son. Because that's the right address to reach the one true God. The address is Jesus Christ. There are all kinds of prayers out there which are not prayers and have no real and lasting power in God's kingdom. Because God doesn't get behind those prayers. For example, the chanting of the Buddhist. is not addressed to the one true God. The yoga meditation in the Manhattan office is not addressed to the one true God. The suhud of the Muslim with forehead, hands, and knees on the ground toward Mecca is not heard by God. It's not prayer addressed to the one true God. The swaying of the Hasidic Jew is not the prayer that God hears. Nor the empty ritual prayer of the pretend Christian who doesn't know Jesus. The prayer that is powerful is the one that God gets behind. And the one that God gets behind is prayer that's offered to him in Jesus' name. Jesus said in John 14, verse 6. What was that, Calvin? John 14, verse 6. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And then the part we didn't memorize at VBS. No one comes to the Father except through me. You want to get to the Father? Got to go through Jesus. Why? Because we have no access to God because of our sin. There's a wall. We're under a curse. We're on the other side of the wall. We're unacceptable. But Jesus broke through that wall. He came under our curse. And with his blood, he took away the curse from us. He opened up access to God. Now there's a door in the wall to God, Jesus, through his death. And in his name, we have access to God. Our sins are washed away. We're acceptable. We're loved. God hears us, and more than that, he elevates our prayer and uses them as his way to work his power. You helped me by your prayers. Paul, if you look at his whole writing, could add, you helped me through your prayers, which you offered in the name of Jesus Christ, who died in order to give you access to God in prayer. He's the mediator. Jesus is the mediator of our prayers. Without him, you have no access to God. With him, you always have access to God. The curtain is torn between you and God. And the door is always open. And God will use your prayers to accomplish his will in your life and in the lives of others. So brothers and sisters, use your prayer. Use prayer in the confidence that God will use your prayers in a powerful way when offered according to his will in the name of Jesus. Pray for yourself. Pray for your children. Pray for your marriage. Pray for your spouse. Pray for your neighbors. Pray for unbelievers. Pray for the nations. All in all your prayers, make sure that God's name, his kingdom, and his will are at the center. We'll look at that as the weeks progress, Lord willing, to see what's to be the center of our prayers. Your name be hallowed. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Make his glory the center. And pray for yourself. And for rain for the crops. And for good health for your children. Only in line with God's kingdom and God's glory. Last week, Bryce spoke from 1 Kings 11 on the fall of Solomon. And I was shocked again at how easy it is to wander from God. The wisest man on earth except for Jesus, Solomon, just wandered so far from God. And I said to myself, if Solomon, the wisest man, could wander from God, what's to prevent you, Harry, from wandering from God? You need prayers. And I said to several of you after the service, please pray for me that I don't wander away. Please help me with your prayers. Help me to preach, but help me also to stay rooted in the Word, to be faithful and not to wander. Please help me with your prayers. And I believe that the powerful God will use your prayers in a powerful way to help me. Now this gets us in a bit of a scriptural pickle or mystery that we can't really sort out. On the one hand, God is surely pleased to use our prayers to do big things in our lives and the lives of others. The lives of our children in his church and kingdom. He's pleased to use our little prayers to do big things. And often the reason we miss out on so much, sometimes, or the reason our lives can become so stagnant and the church can become weak, is simply because we're not praying. James says, you have not because you ask not. How do you expect to be rich with God's gifts, strong in the Lord, armed with the armor of God if you're not faithful, diligent, and fervent in prayer? Really, you ask not, or you have not because you ask not. So you don't believe in God. to hear and answer our prayers. And so we try to go it alone, at least mostly, in our own strength, and expect to flourish. But we won't, not without prayer. Prayer really does change things in our lives, the lives of others. So that's on the one hand. On the other hand, God is sovereign. He's in control. He will decide exactly what He's going to do with our prayers. And we need to submit humbly to His control. He doesn't always answer our prayers the way we hope. That doesn't mean He's not there and He's not listening and He's not doing something with them. We can't see all that He's doing. Think of John the Baptist. His disciples prayed for John to be released from prison and he was beheaded, right? On the other hand, the church prayed for Peter when he was in prison and an angel came down from heaven and opened the door and let him out. Both prayers pleased God. Prayers for John, prayers for Peter. It looks like God didn't answer the one prayer, the prayers for John. John got beheaded. And He did answer the other. But in fact, both prayers are pleasing to God. God heard both prayers. He loved John more than John's disciples could love him. But just like your fervent prayers for the salvation of your loved one is a prayer that's pleasing to God and exalt Him. Apart from how He chooses to answer it, that's a prayer pleasing to God and exalts Him. But part of faithful praying and believing that God uses prayer powerfully is praying with complete surrender. Leave it to God to decide how to use your prayers, how to answer your prayers. And remember always that no matter how He decides to answer your specific prayers, it still pleases Him to use your prayers to do what He plans to do. Though we cannot always see what He's planning to do and what He's doing with them, keep praying. Jesus said, we ought always to pray and never give up. Boldness before God and surrender under God always belong together in a biblical prayer life. He still wants to use you as His co-worker in the salvation of the lost and the coming of His kingdom, regardless of how He's going to use your prayer specifically. So don't be discouraged. Keep on praying. You helped me by your prayers. God does powerful things through the little prayers of His people. And His kingdom will come through your prayers. So congregation, thirdly, this is a plea for prayer. Paul's words, you helped me with your prayers. Those words are a plea for the church to pray. The Lord's Prayer is a plea for Christians to pray for everything we need for body and soul. Everything from the hallowing of God's name to the gift of our daily bread. It's a plea for more prayer from me to God, from you to God. There's far too little prayer in the church today. It's a plea that fills the Bible from beginning to end. Call on me in the day of trouble, says the Lord. The Psalms are filled with calls and pleas for prayer. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians, pray without ceasing. This is the will of God in Christ for you. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. This is a plea for prayer. You have a God who loves to hear and answer prayer. His arms are loaded with gifts. It's my Father's pleasure to give you the kingdom, said Jesus. The Father who loves to hear and answer prayer. You have a mediator who makes your prayers acceptable. Our prayers are imperfect, but they run to God the Father through Jesus who's at His right hand and they come out perfect in the end. So the mediator always at the right hand of God who mediates your prayers. And you have the gift of the Holy Spirit living inside you to empower you and embolden you for prayer and to turn your groanings into words that God understands. Pray. Paul so often pleads for the prayers of the church. I'll give you one example. Colossians 4. Continue steadfastly in prayer. Be watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ on account of which I'm in prison. Please pray that I may make the word clear so that I know how I ought to speak. Please pray for me, he says. Even Jesus pleaded for prayer when he asked his disciples to watch and pray with him for 1 hour when he was in agony in the garden. So congregation, Christians need to pray, and they need to pray more. Because God wants it. He delights in it. He uses it. And because He uses it, you need your prayers. The church needs your prayers. The lost need your prayers. The wandering sheep of the fold need your prayers. The struggling and afflicted and aged need your prayers. Please pray. Please pray. Please pray for yourself. Please pray for your family, for me, for your elders and deacons, for all the saints, for your neighbors, for the nations that don't yet know the Lord, for governments and all those in authority. Please pray, because God uses your prayers. If you see that's something that's unhealthy in the church, please commit it to the Lord in prayer. Don't complain and criticize and grow cynical, but patiently pursue change with persistent prayer. If your marriage is hurting, the first temptation is to solve it by lashing out. Take it to the Lord in prayer. If you know of a marriage that's hurting, take it to the Lord in prayer. If you see that a danger that's looming, please pray. If you see a need, please pray. Pray with boldness. Pray with surrender. Pray with thanksgiving. Please pray. I know there's more to do than prayer. The Bible commands more than prayer, but prayer is one of the frontline weapons the Lord has chosen to accomplish the great things of His kingdom. One of the frontline weapons. You helped us with your prayers. May God give us grace to become more faithful, more regular, and more fervent in our prayers through Christ to God. On behalf of ourselves, on behalf of one another, on behalf of the world. Amen. Lord, you promise to use our prayers to help others, to help us. But we need your help to pray. We need confidence. We need encouragement. We need rebuke. We need reminders. We need the help of your Holy Spirit. We need the mediation of Jesus Christ. We need your call pressed down upon our hearts and lives. So bless us as we study prayer, but we want to do more than study. Bless us to pray and use our little prayers to do big things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.